Peace and blessings. You are listening to Talib's Welcome Home Podcast, a space where we aim to provide content and connect our spiritual hearts with community, love, service, and prophetic wisdom.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, we ask God to send peace and blessings upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad and family and companions. Alhamdulillah, welcome all of you. It's an honor to be with you all, inshallah. This is the first almost week of Ramadan. These days are days in which we start to, exactly, where we start to see the body starts getting used to things, like talking without drinking, flying on the airplane, and getting here, and your mouth is so dry, but you still have to do what you have to do. So the truth is, this Ramadan, more than ever, needs to be the Ramadan that counts. This Ramadan, more than ever. The reason why we called this series, that you're going to follow, inshallah, for the next four Sundays, that I will, inshallah, be a part of, and other teachers will be a part of, we called it Ramadan for the ages. Because this Ramadan, more than ever, has to be the Ramadan that counts for the ages for us. And not just for ourselves, for everyone and everything that we're seeing around us, especially for the people of Gaza. This Ramadan, we have to make it count for them. Our dua and our worship is not in any way, shape, or form just for us anymore. That's one thing that I really realized entering into this Ramadan, that your worship and your du'as are not really for you anymore. This Ramadan has to be a global Ramadan where you keep your heart in a mindset where it's beyond just your daily occurrence, beyond what's going on at work, what's happening with the kids, what's happening with your spouse, what's happening with your parents. All that stuff is important, and all that stuff is real, and all that stuff is a responsibility. And at the same time, this worship that we do in Ramadan has to be beyond just an end goal of what we get out of it. What happens to our children? What happens to our parents? What happens to our community? This is the community of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we start to realize that, because of the unveiling that's happened for the past 5 months for the Muslim community has been unreal. And I do mean unveiling. Allah has different ways of unveiling certain things. And these past 5 months, what we realize is that we might not have another Ramadan, for real. So many people don't have the luxury of actually witnessing Ramadan the way that they witnessed Ramadan in the past, that we're seeing on Instagram and social media. So many people are not really fasting, they're just starving. To the point where somebody asked one of the scholars, is it really fasting when I have nothing to break my fast on? And all the scholar can do is cry. That's a real question. We, alhamdulillah, are in a position where we're literally enamored by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that we're blind by it. We have so much to be grateful for. So much. We all know we have to suffer through this talk for about 30 minutes. And then after that, you get, inshallah, some water and some dates, maybe really good food if we did our job right at Tahrir. And you get to socialize. Then you get to do Tahrir in a secure setting. Then you get to feel spiritual and feel like you did something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are all luxuries. And we're witnessing that now more than ever, that this Ramadan has to be a Ramadan where it's really for the ages. And you can't engage in that type of dialogue until you talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's for the ages. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came down for all of humanity. All of humanity. And he taught us how to be a human being. We all know this in this room. This is why we're here. This is why we're fasting. I'm not telling us anything new. But what's really amazing was there's a lady in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our mother Khadija. She's a lady for the ages. And you don't have to hear that from me. She is of the top four complete women of faith that will ever come and have ever come. Khadija, Fatima, our mother Mary, Maryam, and our mother Asiya. These four women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so amazing that within his own household, four women in all of the world are told that they are the complete perfection of faith as women. Two of them are from the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our mother Khadija is so amazing that not only does she reach a rank of complete servitude to Allah and His Prophet, a rank of complete perfection of faith so high, not only does she do it, she also raises someone to reach the pinnacle of complete perfection and faith in her tradition. That's our mother Khadija, radiallahu anha. There is not much that we all engage in when it comes to our mother Khadija before the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning before she actually became his wife sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what we do know is, like, we all know this. What's the nickname of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time? Huh? Al-Amin. We got one person paying attention. Fantastic. All right. What's the nickname? Thank you. What's the nickname of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Al-Amin. What's the nickname of our mother Khadija? No one knows this. We really need to know this. Our mother Khadija, before Islam, had a nickname. And after Islam, that nickname actually continued. And her nickname was Tahira. Tahira, the pure one. The pure one. Why is that important? It's really important. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, he had amazing lineage. Yes, he was extremely handsome, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an orphan, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken care of by his uncle, and his uncle had many children, and his uncle didn't have much, although he had high standing within society in terms of stature, but not money. Not money. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is raised in a household that has nobility, but yet doesn't have much in terms of actual monetary means. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But our mother Khadija radiallahu anha, before marrying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she had two husbands. She was married twice before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she had a daughter with her first husband, who passed away before her, and her daughter's name was Hind. Not the Hind you guys are thinking about. Everybody thinks of Hind; they think of one Hind. No, that's not her daughter. There are many Hinds. The second child that she has with another man after the passing of her husband is also called Hind. She had two children before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both of them called Hind. And Hind is a name that can go gender fluid, if you will. Huh? Right? Hind is the names of the two children of Khadija radiallahu anha. Then Khadija radiallahu anha is without a husband at the age of 25 with two children. 25. It's really important to know this. At the age of 25, our mother Khadija was one of the most, if not the most influential, most powerful, and most wealthy lady in all of Quraysh, Sayyida, the Sayyida of Quraysh. She was literally named the Sayyida of Quraysh at the age of 25. So much so that three individuals tried to marry her. And all these three individuals were arch nemesis of the Prophet ﷺ, except for one later on after the actual conquering of Mecca. He becomes a Muslim, and that is Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan proposed to our mother Khadija, and she denied him. Abu Jahl proposed to our mother Khadija, and she denied him. And they were all of the same standing and stature and rank in society. Abu Jahl was known as Abu al-Hakam before Islam, which means the father of wisdom. So he had nobility. He has stature. He had everything he needed to get an acceptance. Khadija denied all of them. But then came a man who's 25 years old. And now she's 40. And remember, she was married twice. But Khadija had so much wealth that if you were to put the caravan of all of Quraysh on one side, and the caravan of Khadija on one side, her caravan would be 800 camels going to Syria for trade, and Quraysh would be less than that. That's who Khadija was. Just from a monetary point of view, Khadija radiallahu anha, her home before Islam used to have a green covering on top of her roof to indicate to anyone that comes into the city of Mecca, if they need money, come to my house. If you need aid, come to my house. This is before the coming of the Prophet ﷺ as a messenger outwardly. So when she meets the Prophet ﷺ, she meets him with him doing business for her. Business for her. This is really amazing. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ does her bidding. And she has had many men before that who did some of her sales, some of her exchanges, and every time she would come up short. Every time she would be robbed. And she wouldn't complain. She would let it be. But she knows that what she has is worth more than what was given to her. This time when the Prophet ﷺ, he takes her caravan and he comes back with double the amount of wealth. And her servant that's with the Prophet ﷺ tells her that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, everywhere he goes, there's a cloud covering his head. If he leans upon a tree, the branches of the tree try to extend as far as they can to give him shade and to be close to the Prophet ﷺ. And she sees all these beautiful things of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and the most impressive thing that she actually realizes I want to be with this individual with is because he was honest and truthful with her, Sadiq al-Amin. And it's only right for the pure one to look for al-Amin. And it's only right for al-Amin to be with the pure. Look at this beautiful symphony that Allah has for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved mother Khadija. Before meeting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she's living a relatively ordinary life. Then what ends up happening? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes her husband. He becomes her husband. And there's a big reason why I'm going through all of this. You might be thinking, what is this? How does this relate to Ramadan for the ages? Just wait till the end, okay? Wait for the ending, inshallah. But you'll see that Khadija radiallahu anha, our blessed mother Khadija, was not like any ordinary woman. She was the most beautiful of Quraysh. She was the most pious of Quraysh. She never worshipped anything except Allah, even before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She never ever believed in Lat and Uzza. Her cousin was Waraka. And Waraka was a Hanif. Waraka was an individual that believed in one God, and she was of that religion. Which is why she brings the Prophet ﷺ to who? Waraka. She could have brought him to anybody else. But she knew. But what's really amazing is that she ends up having a moment where she wants to marry the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so one of her good friends, Nafisa, goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, "What do you say about this lady, Khadija?" And he says, "Me?" And she says, "Yeah, what do you say if she would be interested in taking your hand in marriage?" He said, A woman of that stature, a woman of that wealth, a woman of that influence, to be with me? I don't think so. But if the opportunity were to come, I would accept it. I would accept it." And so then they got married. And you know who did their nikah? Waraka. No one knows this. You know who did their nikah? Waraka did their nikah. The Prophet ﷺ didn't meet Waraka for the first time when he had revelation. He was interacting with society. They knew each other before that. Okay? It's really important. And then what ends up happening? Khadija and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for about 15 years have a beautiful, amazing life together, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only becomes one of the most richest people of Mecca, he already has the best lineage of the people of Quraysh. He is already the most handsome individual in Quraysh, and he's already the most noble individual in Quraysh. And he's married to the exact individual, the most beautiful, the most noble, etc., etc., etc. He gets wealth and status because of Khadija, which is a testimony to his prophethood, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because who of any of us, if we were thriving at the status quo of a society? I'm serious. Have you ever talked to people that are like the top 1% of society? It's really hard to get them to change their mind about changing something in society. The Prophet ﷺ had everything at that time for 15 years. And he had 4 beautiful daughters and 2 boys with Khadija. And she is the only wife that the Prophet ﷺ had that produced children for him. That Allah allowed for him to have children through. It's our beloved mother Khadija, which shows her station compared to everybody else. But with our mother Khadija and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had 15 years of living an amazing life with the best that life can offer in that sense. But towards the time of 38 to 39 to 40, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to receive dreams. And he started to love seclusion. Seclusion. And the dreams that he started to see were, some of them were of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasallam. Before he saw him in the physical world, he saw him in his dreams over and over and over again. And he loved to be in seclusion at the time. Our beloved mother Khadija, taking care of 6 children and taking care of 2 others that are hers, and taking care of Ali radiallahu anhu, who was in the household as well, and taking care of Zayd, who is adopted by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many children is that now? Huh? Anybody counting? 9 children. And that's not to say anything else or anyone else that might have been in the household of Khadija and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He left to seclusion. Our mother Khadija didn't complain once about that. That's crazy. I'm serious. That's so exhausting. In the beginning, he used to leave for a few days. Then he used to leave for a few weeks. Then he used to leave for a month. And she would walk to meet him at the middle to give him what he needs and go back to the cave so he can do whatever he does. And at that time, the other women of Mecca used to start making fun of Khadija radiallahu anha. They used to say to her, what kind of fight do you have with your husband where he leaves you for a month? And she would not say anything to them. What kind of marriage do you have where your husband just decides to leave you for 2 weeks? And she didn't say anything. She would support the Prophet ﷺ in such a beautiful way that increased her in rank, and that's before he came out with the message saying that I need to do this. And if you've ever been to that cave, that is not an easy walk. The house of the Prophet ﷺ was not right next to that mountain, Jabal al-Nur. He actually had to walk a long time. And then after walking that long time, he had to ascend. And he didn't have what we have, which is nice brick steps laid out for us to ascend in like an hour's time. If you're really, really good, a half an hour. That's not what happened. That was an exhausting retreat. But yet the Prophet ﷺ used to do it, and Khadija used to meet him there. And she used to do it. At the age of what? The Prophet ﷺ was 40. How old was she at the time? She's 15 years older than the Prophet ﷺ, which means she was 55 at least. 55. That's an amazing, amazing individual. And then one day, as we all know, the Prophet ﷺ comes running down from that mountain and he goes directly to the house of Khadija and he says, hold me. Hold me. Embrace me. Embrace me. The second time he says, cover me. The first time he says, hold me and embrace me when his body is shaking. He could have went to Waraka. He could have went to Hamza. Hamza, by the way, was the brother of Sayyidina Muhammad ﷺ in Rida'a. In the wet nurse. He could have went to him, and he was a noble individual. He could have went to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, that was his best friend. Where did he go? He went back to Khadija and he said, please, hold me. And what did Khadija do? She didn't ask him at all, what happened? Why are you shaking? What's wrong? She just held him in her arms. Until the Prophet ﷺ decided to actually say what took place. Which is unbelievable. When you talk about psychology, that's exactly what they tell you to do with your children. That's exactly what they tell you to do with someone that's close to you. Don't just go in and assume, what happened? What did you do? What's going on? I told you not to go to that cave. My friends made fun of me for a month. I told you not to go. I told you something crazy was going to happen to you. Nothing. What did you do? She just embraced him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he spoke, she assured him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khadija was beyond her time. In fact, do you know what the name Khadija means? Anybody ever think about that? What does the name Khadija mean? It means premature. I mean, you can't make this up. Premature. The scholars took that as saying that she was a lady that was beyond her time. Which is why she was named Khadija. And by the way, the name Khadija was not known before her. It was not common like Hind and Fatima. It was exactly the mirror image of the Prophet ﷺ, where I think only one individual before the Prophet ﷺ was named maybe Muhammad around the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Khadija was not known as a name to the Arabs. And now look how many Khadijas we have. Talk about for the ages. That's a name for the ages. And then so what ends up happening? The Prophet ﷺ is in the lap and is covered now by Khadija. And then he tells her, I am maybe possibly possessed. This was the state of the Prophet ﷺ. I'm going crazy maybe. I don't know what happened. This can't be real. I don't know. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I am possessed. And what does Khadija say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She says, "Kalla, kalla," which literally means "no way, no way." Allah. Then she says, "Allah, I swear to you by Allah, I swear to you by God, He will never debase you. He will never debase you." She took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from a state of confusion. And who can say they did that with the Prophet ﷺ? No one. Who can say they affirmed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No one, except Khadija radiallahu anha. And what did she say? She said words that are literally for the ages, that are to guide us this Ramadan, to make it for the ages. She says, "O Muhammad, I swear to you by Allah, Allah will not debase you because you take care of kingship, your family, and you don't cut ties with your family. This Ramadan, don't cut ties with your family if you want to be righteous." And then what did she say after that? She said, "You speak the truth always. This Ramadan, speak the truth always, even if it's against you. Even if it's against you. Hey, why are you late to work? All right, listen, there's this thing called sahur. All right, I don't know how to explain it. I had to eat a nice little taco dinner. It's right before sunrise. It's like, okay. Or you could be like, hey, listen, you know, I have a flat tire. It's like, nah, dude. Don't lie. Say the truth." And then what does she say? She says, "You help the poor and the destitute." Look how she breaks this down. You know what's really amazing about this? I'm not done with what she says, but you know what's really amazing about this? Years later, when Surah Al-Baqarah is revealed, verse 177, you'll see that when Allah describes to humanity what is true righteousness, it literally goes down the same list that Khadija was inspired to say at the time to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam years before, when he needs a firm affirmation of who he is, which he is the most righteous one sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it says it verbatim in Surah Al-Baqarah 177. I challenge you to look it up. It literally says, righteousness is not to look to the east or the west, but righteousness is to take care of the family and take care of the poor. And when you make a promise, you don't break it, meaning you don't lie. And then, after that, she says, you take care of people's burdens. And we might think that that means, oh, hey, Ibrahim needs something, so I'll give him some water. I took care of his burden. No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in taking care of your burden, is much bigger than that. He actually takes your burden and carries it on his shoulders, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you don't believe me, understand that every Friday, all of our actions are shown, not to Allah, but Allah makes them shown to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? When he sees you doing something good on a Friday, he praises Allah. And then if he sees you doing something other than that, he asks Allah for your forgiveness. He carries the burden for all of us till this very day, even though he has passed from this earth, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he carries the burden. And then he takes care of the guest. All of you are our guests today at Tahrir, and we hope we take care of you. But there's one thing that we know. Muslims know how to take care of the guests. If I go to your house, and if I'm not leaving rolling on the floor because I'm so full, your mom will slap you. Huh? I know this for a fact. We know hospitality. That's something we haven't lost, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then lastly, she says, you assist those that are in trial. And who now more than ever is in need of us that are in trial? Look around us in the world. They're in need of us. They're all in trial. And guess what? You don't even have to look around the world. You can look around this room. And I promise you, if you look a little deeper, you'll see there are people that are in need and they're going through their own trials. So just at least smile at people today when you have iftar. Have a smile. It's charity. So if you want this to be the Ramadan for the ages, just follow our mother Khadija in what she said for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam right when he received the first revelation, which is, and to cap it off, Allah will not disgrace you. Bring people up when they're down. Affirm people when they've lost their way. And then what did she say? Take care of your family. And then do not lie. And then help the poor and the destitute. And then carry other people's burdens if you can.
You just listened to the Welcome Home podcast. please consider becoming a monthly sustainer by joining 1,000 Hearts of Talif and commit to giving $3 a day. Sign up today at talifcollective.org/donate. Thank you and peace.